How do you build a church studio and build your worship culture at your church? We'll talk about it today.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey friends, thanks so much for being here. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to have two powerhouse worship leaders on the show, and I wanted to remind you that you can search our podcast archives by category. So if you go to makingsundayhappen.com, there'll be a drop-down menu that says category. You can just drop that down, and you'll see different categories like live production and volunteer culture and worship. You can click on worship, for instance, and you can see all the podcast episodes that we've done with different worship leaders like Chris Tomlin, Shane and Shane, John Schlitt from Petra, the guys from Selah, Elias Dummer, Michael Boggs, Dennis Worley, Phil Joel from the Newsboys, Meredith Andrews, and many more. We've talked to a lot of folks about leading a great worship culture at your church and the worship aspects of your service. So makingsundayhappen.com, then use that drop-down category menu or the category drop-down and choose worship to get all of those worship related podcast episodes. All right, today I welcome Terrell Padilla, the creative director at The Rock Church. Terrell is also an extremely talented worship leader and musician. Terrell is responsible for composing audio, producing video, and leading a team of over 40 musicians and stage presenters each week. He oversees the production of special events. A veteran in the space, it's a privilege to have Terrell back on the show again. I'll also welcome Kier Bajorn. Kier's been on the podcast before, so it's great to have him back. He's a worship leader, performer, musician. He has served on staff at Daystar Church as the Next Generation Worship Director since 2013. He has been in numerous stage shows and has performed off-Broadway in Soul on Fire and other productions. And both of these guys are absolutely incredible. We'll talk to Terrell first and then Kier. It's all on the way after this.
Hey guys, Grant Murphy here from the 1230 team. We want to remind you this week that your service matters. No matter where you serve at your church to make Sunday happen, even if no one sees what you're doing, you are being obedient to serve your local church. If we could be a safe place for you to share any struggles or challenges that you're facing at your church or just need someone to talk to, you are welcome to call us. Our number is 910-849-1230. That's 910-849-1230. Our team will listen, will pray for you and encourage you. If you're a pastor, a leader, a staff member, or a volunteer, we're here for you. We want to help you make Sunday happen, and sometimes that may include being a listening ear. So we're here for you. Give us a call, 910-849-1230, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Terrell Padilla. Terrell, tell me, you are still with Worship Together, right?
Yep.
And you do write and record your own music as well?
Yeah, outside of Capitol, write, produce, lead worship, all that stuff, which is really fun. Yep. And then for Worship Together and Capitol, we get to oversee the production of a lot of songs as well, which is fun.
How often do you get a chance to go out and lead worship?
So for my church, I'll lead in a different capacity weekly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you go with the band in other places as well?
A lot? No, so it's all, we have two campuses. Okay. So it's really just shifting around those campuses. And then outside of that, I'll travel on my own to some other churches,
gotcha.
Do trainings
okay.
with worship teams, lead on Sundays, that sort of thing.
So I want to talk about your workshop, but before we get to that, what are some things as you are talking with other worship leaders, what are some problems that they're having that you maybe consistently are helping them solve?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one is just getting the full engagement from your team. Whatever your vision is, there always seems to be you've got one person that's on board with you,
yeah,
and then some of your other team that's really not. And so I think the biggest common factor that we keep on reiterating with Worship Together, and when I'm out, if I'm coaching a team, is casting vision and building relationship, being pastoral.
Right.
You know, it's the big difference. I think we might have talked about this last year a little bit, but like, it's the big difference between being a song leader and being a worship pastor. You know, I think a lot of people hear the title worship pastor, and it's cool. You know, your pastor comes to you and they're like, hey, we'd love to bring you on staff. We'd like you to be our worship pastor. You're like, great. In your mind, I think a lot of us think that means I'm the guy leading songs on Sunday.
Right. They forget the word pastor.
Totally. And so you don't even have to lead. Like, to be a worship pastor, you don't even have to lead on a Sunday morning. One of the greatest examples I got was from a friend of mine.
Good point.
His pastor came to them, wildest thing I've ever heard of in my life. His pastor shows up to a staff meeting one day and says, all of y'all are switching roles. So, hey, youth pastor, you're the new worship pastor. Like, everyone had just gotten really, like, complacent in their roles. So he switches everybody up. This guy that was the youth pastor becomes the worship pastor, can't sing a lick, can't play a guitar, but he actually ends up doubling or tripling the worship team.
So how long did they do that?
He was like in that role for a few years.
Like, the pastor just came in and said...
The next, like, 3 years, he's in that role.
Whoa.
Which is wild. But all of them actually found it to be really healthy.
Right.
You know, you think someone might leave with that, but they all found it to be really healthy.
Right.
This man ended up leading a great team of worshipers, not being able to sing, not being able to play, but because he was pastoring them.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest coaching aspect that we see that's missing.
So good.
Is you have so many song leaders, but we don't have a lot of worship pastors.
Yeah, I think that's true in every team. I found that when I was in production, that if I treated it like a mini church, I'm the pastor of this mini church right here. They are my flock that I have to take care of, that, you know, I see it in a different light. I don't see it as, oh, if I miss the button on Sunday, things are going to, you know, fall apart.
Totally.
I'll be the one that the pastors get mad at or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah, it definitely flips it on its head
And then it's so different from like a planning center, like even just a scheduling standpoint.
Right.
It's so different then, because like, if I'm just a song leader and a scheduler, if I keep on having that guy that every Saturday night he declines on me. And I don't have a relationship with him, I'm so easily frustrated with him.
Right.
I'll just keep on scheduling him. Versus if I'm pastoring that person, it's so easy to call up and say, hey,
what's going on?
Planning center cancels in a row usually mean there's something deeper going on.
Right.
And if you're pastoring that person, you can get down to the nitty gritty and dive into, you know, the mess that they're walking through and help bring them out of that.
Good. All right. So let's dive into your workshop. You're talking about creating a studio at my church on a budget.
Yeah.
So give me a primer, give me an overview of what you're talking about.
Totally. So kind of the breakdown that we'll go through is we'll walk through the basic needs, you know, for the room, the gear, computer, preamps, microphones, what you would need to different miking techniques for like acoustic guitar, recording techniques for electric guitar, bass, drums, all that sort of thing. Just some real basics of, hey, here's what we can do to build out a really good studio. I think overall, if I could hand off something to any of our attendees, is that you don't need the $1 million, you know, studio budget.
I don't have to spend a whole bunch.
And I think it would be surprising to know, you know, like, Carl, I live in Nashville. Mm-hmm. I've lived here for 4 years. I came from Seattle, and I was working at a studio in Seattle and on staff at a church, and came to Nashville, and I thought the studio that I was at in Seattle would just be nothing compared to these amazing. I thought I'm gonna walk into the world's best studios, you know?
Right.
And then come to find out, like, oh, this guy just is set up in his basement, but he's producing amazing sounding songs. This guy is doing it in his bedroom. Mm-hmm. This guy's doing it in the spare room. This guy's in his garage. And you start to realize it doesn't take all that, you know, we often limit ourselves because we think, if only I had, and then we fill in the blank.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We don't have to say that. We can actually say, with what I have right now, how can I set myself up to capture great audio, really capture the heart of what our church is doing, and get that out to the world?
All right, so give me the why. If I'm a church, why do I need to even start the process of building a studio for my church? Yeah. Even if it's on a budget, why would I want one?
Totally. I think step one, if I was talking to worship leaders, the first thing I would say is that you've been given a voice to write for your church. Mm. You know, I think we often think, well, Hillsong or Elevation, they do it better. I'll just take their songs. Their songs are great. They're amazing.
Yep.
But if you are really the worship pastor of your church, God also has prophetically spoken things to you for your people. And so I would encourage our worship leaders to write.
Do you think every worship pastor at every church should write songs for their people?
I think they should. I think they should write.
Okay.
And then see if it goes well.
Okay.
Write literally as part of your worship to God. I don't think we should write for people, but if I'm a worship pastor, a part of my calling is to worship God creatively. And that can't just be for me reciting what other people have already written.
Right.
Let me write as a worship to God. And then if it ends up being something that you really feel or your pastor feels is congregational for your church, you can walk down that road. Now, let's say those people walk down that road and you're a tech guy, and now your worship pastor, your pastor is like, we want to record an album. Mm-hmm. I think that's where this idea of a budget, how do I create quality audio within our church and capture what's going on here in the church? I think that's where the vision comes
in.
What
kind of rooms should I be looking for? Does it small space, larger space? Yeah. Where do I find that?
Yeah, wherever you're at a church, you know, quiet space is the big one. There's ways to make it quieter. If you happen to have a room that doesn't have symmetrical walls, then you've hit gold.
Right.
Call that your studio, put a little thing on the door, and let's build from there. But it really doesn't have to be a big space, you know? I mean, that's what's wild, I think, in our industry and in recording. So many people have gone from 2,000, 3,000 square foot studios to far less.
Right.
And quality stays the same.
Right.
The days of the big studio are over. I mean, unless you want to do orchestra, you know, that's a whole other thing.
But. Yeah, I think some of that comes from people enjoy working from home. I think that's one factor. I think that the technology has gotten better where I don't have to be in a big whatever. I can use tools.
You can emulate all of that stuff now.
Yeah. So maybe give me some first starting tips. Am I going to paint the room black? Am I going to put soundproofing? Like, give me those. Walk me through steps.
Totally. I mean, I think the very first thing is like get set up on what DAW you're going to use, Logic or Pro Tools or Ableton, and start watching YouTube videos. People, like, I've ran into so many people that are like, this program is daunting, it's scary, I don't know how to use it, I didn't go to school for it.
Uh-huh.
I went to school for it, and I'll tell you, about a month after I got out of school, everything had changed. That's how fast technology changes. And all of the training that I went through was no longer valid for me. I'm still the guy, I'm in my mid-30s, and I'm still looking up YYouTube videos, and there's some 12-year-old kid that's like, hey guys,
my
mom just
everything
gave me breakfast,
you ever know
and I'm
going to
show you, I'm going to show you what's going on.
Just finish
your like, oh, thanks.
Cheerios.
Yeah, thanks, exactly. Johnny, appreciate it. Yeah. So I think like pick one piece of software, stick with it. And don't try and like be the jack of all trades.
Right.
Get a great interface, find a room where you can practice, and then just start like capturing what you guys do on Sunday. If you can run out of your board on Sunday, capture that, start trying to mix it, start trying to edit, start trying to produce, ask questions. If I wanted to time the drums, how would I do so?
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to tune these vocals, how would I do so?
Mm-hmm.
And then look up YouTube.
So is this just audio only? Can it double as a video studio as well?
Totally. You can run both. And in fact, you know, for Worship Together, we captured New Song Cafes, a lot of videos. Most of our videos now are shot in studios. So if you've got a big enough room that you can utilize like one side kind of for like the production setup and the capture setup, and use it as a video space, you actually can probably be more convincing for your pastor to go, hey, this is dual purpose.
Worth to spend the
beyond
money.
The worship, we can capture messages if we're going to do an offsite type thing. We can capture announcement videos.
Right.
We can capture video.
You can get a white roll or a green screen.
Amazon for like $150, little white psych wall and call it good. I mean, it really doesn't take a whole lot of money.
Yeah, good. All right. So give me a parting shot. What is something I can walk away with right now when it comes to creating that studio space?
Yeah.
Why would I convince my pastor maybe?
Totally. I mean, I think first off, I wouldn't even necessarily go with convincing your pastor. I would say This would be if your pastor or your worship pastor has a vision for that team. This is how you would facilitate it. Because I can have a great vision to build a good studio. And I was actually just talking to a worship leader the other day. They were like, we had this great vision to build a great studio. That was the vision. And that's where the vision ended. So they built the studio and it never got used. Amazing right. gear, amazing room,
right.
never got touched. But right. if your team has a vision for a culture of worship, you want to give your people at your church the ability to listen to you outside yeah. of Sunday, then go for it.
Yeah, so know your why before you go into it.
Totally. The vision yeah. has to precede all yeah. of it.
Awesome. Well, man, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Carl.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for watching and listening to our podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you would so that you never miss an episode of the show. Just go to youtube.com/1230media, all spelled out, to find and subscribe now. Click the alarm bell to be notified of all future episodes. You can subscribe at youtube.com/1230media. That's all spelled out, youtube.com/1230media. Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Kier Bajorn. Kier, you did a workshop here at SALT all yeah. about worship. Mm-hmm. One thing I love about that workshop is you talked about how to have songs for every season of ministry.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit on that.
Yeah, so you know, one of my main focuses in that workshop was bringing up things like songs of lament.
Yes.
Because you know, it's really easy to just sing joyful songs and sing songs that talk about the greatness of God, which yeah. is that's all true.
But I'm not happy all the time.
You're not happy all the time.
Yep.
Things happen in life. And while joy is always the underlying base of all of our songs, all of our worship, we still can touch on things like sorrow and grief and Good. Wilderness. And so that's what I was talking a little bit about, that Good. Even songs of justice and things like that.
Good. Okay, so how does that work practically? Does that need to play out itself in my worship set on a Sunday? Does it need to, like, I'm going to sing this one song for the next 3 months?
Right.
And that's walk that out for me.
Yeah, so actually I presented it to them talking about, like, whatever the best context for their context of what they do in their church. So some people can incorporate that in their worship set. And you know, the scripture talks about ministering to each other and addressing each other with hymns and songs
yeah,
and spiritual songs. And so some songs, I think in the worship set, when placed right and communicated right and delivered right, can be songs that are reaching horizontally while giving vertical glory. And I think God gets glory when we reach out with those spiritual songs and those hymns and lift up our brothers and our sisters and massage their hearts. I think God gets the glory when we lean into their grief, lean into their pain, lean into that wilderness with them.
Is that better to choose songs that other artists have done? Is it better for me to write those for my community?
Yeah.
Both?
There are songs out there that do that well and that fit well in the context of a Sunday morning. But also, if your church is writing or if you're a writer, write some of those songs.
Yeah.
Some of those songs come up in times of worship. I did bring up in Exodus when Moses and the Israelites finally got across the Red Sea, and one of the first things that they did once the water came crashing back down is they sang a song of praise to God. And, you know, in the quotations, I think it says something like, we've seen God's deliver the hand of God or the salvation of God, and we've seen the horses and the chariots drown in the sea. So it's like some of those songs come in the moment, too. It's yeah. a song of the Lord. It's a song of the moment, a song of what's currently happening.
So how do I know what season am I'm in?
Wow.
You know, how
That's
do I
question.
Maybe just know where my congregation is?
Yeah.
How do I know what they're feeling and then how I choose songs based on that?
I think we got to get out of the green room.
Uh-oh. Drop that mic, man.
Really, though, we have to
that
get out of
so
the
good.
Green
yep.
room and get into the foyer and talk to the people we're leading in worship.
Yep.
Because they're going to have conversations with us. They're going to let us know that my father died, or
right. yep.
My brother just got diagnosed with cancer, or uh-huh. whatever it may be. And we have those conversations, and then we get on the stage to sing over them. We know what to sing over them.
That is so good, man. Yeah. And I think that as artists, you know, and I want to be careful here. I don't want to pick on worship leaders too much, but I think sometimes we can have that mentality. Like, I'm going to be in the green room. It's cool. It's backstage.
I got to prepare. And all that's true.
I need to. Yes, it is. But I think that sometimes when you get on stage, I can connect with you better. If it's less, even if the performance stinks, or you know what I mean?
Yes.
If I know that you're connecting with me, if I know that you're resonating with me, even if I have a relationship with you, that goes so much farther than the performance piece. Do you agree?
Absolutely. That personal connection is so important because a song can sometimes just be a song if it's not reaching, it's not aimed somewhere.
Right.
You know? So that personal connection is extremely important.
Okay, so how do I know if I'm hitting my target? How do I know on the backside?
That's good.
I've reached them with that song.
I think, and we talked about, Don and I talked about this in our session, just setting the whys with our teams and our the people we're leading with, like, why are we doing this? What is our goal? What is our goal with this song? Why do we choose this song?
Yeah.
What do we want people to feel when we do this song? What is the end goal? And then debrief and evaluate how do you think that came across. But then at some point you got to get back into the foyer and say,
good,
you know, hey, what did you think about that song that we sang? You know, how did it make you feel? Did it help lead you into the presence of God? And have those honest conversations.
Yeah. Do those just come with conversation? Do you do any type of survey? How do you get that good, honest evaluation?
I've seen both. I've been a part of a ministry where we did do a kind of survey. We've done, like, you know, more fun surveys on, like, social media, and then more official surveys, and then those conversations, like, meet back up with those people you connected with. But a lot of times, too, I'm sure you know, your congregants will let you know if they don't like something or if something really, really touched them. So lean into that, because sometimes we can stray away from, like, okay, like, you're giving me too much opinions and stuff, but some of that is worth listening to and hearing, because it'll help guide us in our choosing.
So how do we make that distinction between the peanut gallery that always complains?
That's one of my favorite phrases,
and peanut gallery. Yeah, you're welcome for that. That always complains, and then, you know, feedback that we really need to take to heart. How do we balance that?
I think we have to approach that with prayer and, like, ask the Holy Spirit to sharpen our ears and sharpen our minds and our hearts so that we can receive it correctly. I think we have to just take it all.
Pray for discernment.
Yeah, well, I think we have to take it all first, and then put it on the table and sift through it and pray about what the information that we've gotten.
Yeah, I think too, sometimes if it's repeated, you know, like if it's just one person that always complains,
it's like, here maybe that's one Joe thing. Again.
Right. I'm gonna get out of here. But if it's multiple people, you know, someone that you highly respect, mixed with Joe, you know, if you're hearing that over and over, you know, you may want to take it to heart and listen to it. Yeah, good. All right, so let's talk to worship leaders. You've been at this a long time, both from a worship leader standpoint and an artist, you know, more, you know, recorded music and things like that. So, and you do conferences, you do all kinds of things. So talk to the worship leaders and those performing, for lack of a better word, leading a group on stage. What are some tips that you've learned over the years from worship leading?
Well, I think,
if you could tell your younger self stuff, what would it be?
I would say lean deeper into the fullness of what being a worship leader is, as far as the people that you're singing over. It's hard to sing songs over people that you're not personally connected with in some kind of way. At some point, you need to make it a habit to have a conversation. So one of the things we do at Celebration is we, like, all right, if you can, just press a little bit. Let's go out into the lobby. Let's connect with our church. Let's have some conversations. Let's meet some people. Mm-hmm. Let's welcome some people. And then once you get on the stage, it makes it so much easier, because you can look out here.
Yeah. Look them in the eye.
You just talk to her about this or that or whatever it may be. So that personal connection is really important. Don't stay in your green rooms. Yeah. Don't run away from your congregants. Get to know them. Get to know somebody. Sing the songs you're singing as prayers over your church.
Does that inform what you say in between the songs?
Absolutely.
Also, without it being like, he's talking about me. Just, you know, how do you balance that of like making sure that you're confidential or not like sharing people's stuff on stage, but also, you know, does it inform? Well, it totally informs what you say between the songs.
I want to speak healing in this room. I want to agree with you about your healing or about the healing of a family member in this room. I want to agree with you about deliverance. We want breakthrough, or you bring it to yourself. Like, be vulnerable too. I'm still learning, even after leading all these years, I'm learning how to keep cracking my shell and say, be on this edge of like, Lord, I need you today. You know, and really, good. And not just say a lyric, but literally be on the stage and like, I need you today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a good way just to declare those general things, healing, deliverance, and all of that stuff.
What are some, we've talked about the personal, and I don't want to discount that at all because I totally agree with you there. We got to get out of the green room. We got to talk to our people.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears and talk about the practical.
Yeah.
Are there some things in a flow of a worship experience, let's say transitions would be one of those. Like, what are the kind of nuts and bolts that you're like, man, this is one thing that I've learned over the years, that if I can do this, if I can put my, you know, capo this way or my microphone this way, talk to me about those things. Technical skills.
I think it's perfectly fine. A lot of us who lead worship aren't as comfortable talking on the stage. I think it's perfectly okay to have a little script sometimes.
Good. Okay.
If you want to have a few lines of.
Is that on an iPad? Is that on your confidence monitor?
Like memorize it maybe.
Okay.
Like nothing too drastic, but a few lines that can make you feel comfortable so your mind isn't racing all over the place. Like, just something to welcome the people that's authentic. I think that's perfectly fine. But also things like leaving space between songs. I know it varies from church to church, but it's so beautiful to sing a song of truth or a prayerful song over your church and then let it settle and let it sink in and give them some time to process that before moving to the next song.
Yeah.
Those are two of the biggest things I think are really helpful. And just be yourself. And I know that sounds really general because we're on a stage, we have a microphone, we have lights and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But be yourself because our congregations are not dumb people. Right. They know when it's authentic. They know when you're bringing yourself and you are not just performing for them. So be yourself, be your genuine self.
Yeah. Kier, everybody, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Hey guys, wrapping it up this week. Thank you so much for being here. Be sure to subscribe to our show on the YouTubes, on the Spotify's, wherever you get your podcast. Hit that notification bell and then a little ring ring sound effect will happen and the unicorns will fly. I actually don't know what will happen, but just that you will get our podcast in your feed every single week and will be notified when a new episode comes out. So be sure to do that. All right, next week on the show, I welcome my old friend Ben Stapley. He'll be here along with Darren Foreman. Darren is from Eagles Nest Church in Georgia. Talking to these guys all about creating an internship program at your church, as well as avoiding ministry burnout. So both of these guys have some great insight on both of those topics. Well, go out there and create some incredible worship experiences at your church. Go make Sunday happen. I'll see you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit makingsundayhappen.com.